morning we're going to be continuing our series, which is we titled it Grace Anatomy. I mentioned last week I personally called it Godly Bodies, but the point is that we're looking at ourselves, this creation that God has created in each and every one of us, and we're seeing that God has designed our special body parts for His purposes. We looked at our hands and how we're supposed to use that for God's purposes. Last week, we looked at our eyes and to see what God says about that in His scriptures. And then this week, we're going to be looking at our tongues, our mouths, our words, and how we can, we're going to see how we can actually create with those things and how we're supposed to use these instruments that God has given us for His glory and for His good. I thought it was especially applicable to all of us because we're stuck with, most of us have hands and eyes and tongues and feet and these things that we're looking at. So you're stuck with those things. And the purpose of this is that we can look at Scripture to see how to use these things. God created us in His image, and He gives us instruction how to use this image of His for good and not for evil, to bless our neighbors, not to curse them. So I'm excited as we're looking through this series. Today, we're looking at godly tongues, godly mouths, godly words, and we're going to see what Scripture has to say about that. I did want to start out this sermon this morning with a story. And so when I was around sixth grade, I vividly remember this guy in my school. He was my same age. And he came up to me, and at this age, it's kind of like just a little bit into my life that I had acne, and I had not the clearest skin ever, which is fine. And, it was something that I had, and it wasn't nothing I could do about it. I remember a little guy in my class, and he came up to me, and he said, "Hey, do you ever wash your face?" Just think about it. Do you ever think what that kind of did to me as a kid? I'm thinking, I'm thinking all sorts of things. And then I remember this. He proceeded to say, "Teach me how to wash my face." And I'm thinking, I'm thinking all types of things, and they weren't good things. And his words hurt me. And they demoralized me. And they, and I'm sure that all of us have gone through that, whether in all different aspects of life. We all have something that maybe somebody said a word or some comments to us that really hurt us. And that are painful. And so this morning, we are going to look at words and the power that words have. They can break us or they can make us. They can build us up or they can tear us down. The words that we speak out of these mouths that God has given us have the power to produce fruit or dry wastelands. The words that we have in our mouth have the power to produce life or to produce death. Our scripture for today, if you can bring it up on the board, is found in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 21. We're going to be looking through a lot of scriptures. I'll have it all up on the board. It'll be in your Bible, but mainly up in the board as well for your convenience. But our verse for this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. This is what Solomon says about words. And he says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So this morning we're going to be looking into grace anatomy and our tongues. And we'll see the power of the tongue through scripture. And then after that through some practical application. So if you'll pray with me as we begin this journey to the scriptures. Father God, I pray that you will anoint my tongue. Father, anoint my mind, anoint my heart. Father, as I share your scriptures, your plan, Father, for our tongue, Father, the desires that you have for us, your church, and for the world, Father, to use our tongues for glory, for your glory, for good, Father, to lift up our neighbors, Father, to show love, to speak love. God, I pray that you will be with all of us who are in this church and all of us who are listening, God, that you will convict us in regards to sin and convict us in regards to righteousness. Father, speak to us through your word. Show us how we can change. Show us how we can be more in your image, Father, in your righteousness. God, may you multiply this time. I feel like there's so much, God, that we can share and that we can look into. I pray that you will multiply this time, the short time we had together. I pray that you will keep us attentive, Father, as we listen to your instructions this morning. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So as I was thinking through this study and reading a number of books, actually on this, there's a bunch of good books. I'll mention a couple of them this morning. I was thinking about some powerful words that have been spoken that have changed the world. Solomon says words had the power of life and death. That's power. That's a lot of power. So I was thinking, what are some words that have been spoken that have changed the course of history? Here's a few of them. There's millions of words out there that have changed history, but here's a few of them in particular. In honor of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, you know what I'm about to say? That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Those words changed the world. Do you know how many generations we've been looking at that moon? my daughter has nothing to do with that. She's learning I think it's Yen Leong or something like that. I'm trying to learn Mandarin, but she's like, oh, Yen Leong. That's the moon in Mandarin, I think. Anyway, the moon is something we've been looking at. We did it, guys. And then these words are what were spoken. And we all have this in our memory, especially this week in honor of the anniversary. How about this one? I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up. That changed our history. My parents went to a segregated school. I did not go to segregated school because of that person, Martin Luther King, because of these words that he spoke that inspired a generation, a country, a nation. These small words are forever imprinted in history, and they changed the world. How about this one? These words tore down a wall. You know what I'm about to say? Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev. You guys know it. Say it.
Tear down this wall.
Wow. And it happened, right? That's power. And that created life. I mean, that saved a lot of people. It changed the history of this world. How about this one? Just a few more. I could keep going on, but this is kind of fun. So these words like led to the creation of a nation. I'll let you just guess which nation. Here are the words. It's in Old English. I'm not very good at that. Let's try this. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, anybody know? What is it? Give me liberty or give me death. These are words that inspired a group of men, and this group and these men went out and inspired a whole, what would become the United States of America. And they rose up and they decided to have liberty. These are the very words. There's a lot of history into this. I actually discovered that these words were not written down during that meeting, but they're written down something like 40 or 50 years later. But they were still remembered 40 or 50 years later. Give me liberty or give me death. And those men and women, they marched out there and they took this country by storm. They took it back. And so we have those words changed history. And they're powerful. Give me liberty or give me death. How about this? Last one's the promise. And amongst the most powerful words that were ever spoken, listen to these words. Can you go to the next slide? John 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Those are the last words of Jesus here during his incarnational ministry before his resurrection. It is finished. He did it all. and these are the most powerful. I mean, these words changed our lives, changed eternity, they changed mankind. Words have the power to change. And that's just a few instances. Solomon, I think, was right on when he said, words had the power of life and death. They had the power to change the world. And when you use words in godly ways, you have these huge impacts on the world for the betterment of mankind. Think about this. Our words can bless. Our words can heal. Our words can be an instrument of God and his gospel. One of the books I was reading in this week is a book is called The Female Brain. Okay, husbands, I recommend you read this book. And in this, the author, which I haven't been able to mention in a few minutes, she quoted a psychiatrist named Luann Brizendine. And this is a psychiatrist that they analyzed the speech of men and women. And they, I guess over a course of years or whatever, they counted how many words men speak and how many words women speak. Listen, I don't know if this is true. I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a scientist, but this is what the professionals say, that men speak an average of 7,000 words a day. Women speak an average of 20,000 words a day. Okay, I don't know. Could be flipped, or it could, I don't know. This is what the professionals say. I haven't personally counted. So in 1 year, men will speak 7.3 million words, and women will speak 25 million words. My point is this. Imagine the good and the influence we could have on the world if just a portion of those words were used for the glory of God and the love of our neighbor. Out of 25 million words, this is a small portion were used for the glory of God and the love of our neighbors. What change could we have? This is an instrument of God, our tongues and our mouth. God gave it to us in His image, and there is power in our tongue, as we've just seen. So how can we use our tongue for the betterment of mankind and for the glory of God? So for the next few minutes, we're going to look at that. I want to start, first of all, with looking at some ways that are wrong, like no-no ways to use your tongue. We all know that, but I'm just going to kind of refresh us on that. Then we're going to look at some ways that God actually commands us or instructs us to use our tongues. And then we're going to look at some practical advice, like how can we apply this like to our own mouths and our own tongues. And so that's the course of today's sermon, to look at wrong ways, right ways, ungodly ways, godly ways, and then some practical application. So let's dive into it. Let's start with like wrong ways. I thought we'd start with wrong ways, and we'll go to the good part afterwards. So as we look into the wrong ways or ungodly ways that use our tongues, I thought I would start with this statement. As a kid, I learned it. As an adult, I heard it. And let's see if you know this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie, guys. It's a lie. I don't know who came up with that. It wasn't Solomon, okay? It's not in the Bible. It's one of those things that sounds good, but I don't think it. I think it's a lie. Words can hurt you, and they can break you. Listen to some powerful words that can hurt us. If you could go to the next slide, please. How about these powerful words? I hate you. Those are words from our God-given tongue. I hate you. How about this? I don't believe you. That hurts. How about this? I don't trust you. As I'm saying these, think about this. Have these ever been said to you? Or perhaps you said these to somebody else. How about this next one? I don't love you. That's hurtful. And that's using your tongue in a wrong way. How about this next one? In the news last week. Go back to where you came from. Man, that's like hitting home, right? Literally. I'm sure that popped up on everybody's news feeds this week. God intends us for us to use our tongue, which is made in image of God, for righteous purposes. But I can speak for myself. It's easy to use your tongue for evil purposes instead. So as I was thinking like of ways that we use our tongue and our words in a wrong way, in ungodly manners, I thought about a few things. One thing is, I was thinking about this, how scary it is that one word can change the course of our entire life. One word or one comment can change the course of our entire life. Think about this. In your job, one word that you outspoken, like out of place, one misspoken word or outburst could make you lose your job and lose your career. Just one word can do that. What if you tell your boss, shut up, or, you know, I don't know, like, some word. You can get fired. One word has the power to do that. How about this? With one word, our family could be torn apart. What if you told your spouse, I don't love you? Man, think about that. What if you told your spouse that? Or what if you told your child that? I don't love you. Or what if your child told you that? Man, words can tear apart families. Another powerful aspect that I thought about words, when thinking about words in ungodly manners, is this, that you can never take back words. Like, Google has some feature now where you can like unsend an email. I'm not sure how that works, I haven't tried it. I think I'll try it on myself first, but like apparently you can unsend an email. You can't do that with your tongue. And you know that, but you may have never thought about this. You can never take back your words. Have you guys, like in this room, ever said something that you wish that you could take back? Like if I were to ask you to write down take out a pen and write down the number one thing you wish that you could ever take back that you said. Think about that. And I'm pretty sure that all of us could write down something. It'd be mean if I asked you to write it down and pass it to your neighbor. I would never do that. But I can't even take that word back. But you can't take words back. That's the point. That's how powerful they are. They could change your family, change your job, they could change. You can't take them back. Words are powerful. And that's scary to me. Words are powerful. Our scripture reminds us today of that power. Proverbs 18:21, next slide please, says, Solomon reminds us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So for the next few minutes, let me share with you some powerfully wrong, incorrect ways to use our tongues. And then we'll jump into the right ways. So first of all, just so you know, there's a lot of scriptures here. I'm going to try to go through them rather quickly. If you would like a copy of this sermon or slides or audio, I'd be happy to send it to you. But in my research, I found that the words that are in the Bible that are mentioned, such as tongue, talk, speech, words, mouth, and silence, are mentioned more than 3,500 times all throughout the scripture. More than 3,500, and this is an application purposes, it's mentioned. So there's a lot of instructions like how to use like our tongues in the Bible. There's a lot here. We won't cover 3,500 scriptures. So like listening, but listen to some ways that we could use our tongues in ungodly ways. And you guys know most of these, but may they be a refresher and a reminder and even an encouragement. The first one, if you go to the next slide, is the way that we can, and by the way, these are in no particular order. I think they're all equally as evil. So the one way that we can use our words in the wrong manner, the way that God never intended, is this thing called lying. You guys, anybody ever lie here? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure we're all guilty of lying. So I think that we all are on the same page. We know that lying is bad. Like it can even be considered evil. Well, let me tell you like something new, like something you may not have ever thought about, is that if you lie, if you intentionally lie, you are sharing the company of Satan and his deeds. If you lie, you're sharing the company of Satan and his deeds. Listen to what Jesus says about Satan. It's in John 8:44. Go to the next slide. Jesus says this about, he's talking to his adversaries at this time, and he says, you, speaking to the adversary, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. This is Satan. When Satan tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of lies. When you purposely tell a lie, you are in the company of Satan. You may not have ever thought of it. When you tell a lie, you are in the company of Satan. Maybe you just think like lies won't matter to God, but God takes lying very, very seriously. Lying, listen, I thought about this, and we could spend like a whole sermon on lying, but lying tore apart heaven. Think about it. Satan like lied to the other angels, said, follow me, worship me. Lying tore apart heaven. Lying tore apart Eden. Satan lied to Adam and Eve. Eve lied to Adam. They all lied to God. Like lying tore apart Eden, tore apart heaven, tore apart Eden. And lying can tear apart our own life as well. That's how powerful lying is. And lying comes through our tongue. Lying is bad. And I know you know that, but I want you to know that when you lie, you're sharing the company of Satan. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12:35. The next slide. Jesus says this, a good man produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word that they speak. We're going to be judged by what we speak, what comes out of our mouth. Matthew 12:37, Jesus says, by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Oh man, I think that there's a high accountability to our tongues and what comes out of them. And I highly encourage you not to lie. You're in the company of Satan. You're using your tongue for ungodly purposes, and you will be held accountable in the day of judgment for the lies that come out of your mouth. So that's the first one, lies. Some of these are going to be faster than others. We have a lot of these things here. The next slide is gossip. I wanted to dedicate most time to these two, lying and gossip. Paul, listen to what Paul says about gossip. It's in Romans 1:28-30. Paul says, and because they did, he's talking about the sinners, and he says specifically what type of sinners, but Romans 1:28, Paul says, and because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what is morally wrong. They are filled with all unrighteousness, which is evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. This is how Paul groups gossipers. He groups them in all of these people. There are so many things that we could say about gossips, and I think we should have an entire series on gossip. And I would love to do that in the future. We'll try to put that down in our calendar, like a whole series on gossip. But just know for now that Paul is grouping gossipers with murderers, God-haters, and those who are filled with all unrighteousness. This is how serious God considers gossipers. And I can say a lot more. Obviously, there's a ton of teaching on gossipers. Don't use your tongues for gossiping. That's ungodly tongue use right there. God takes gossip seriously. Let me fly through a few more, a number more actually, but these are some I read in some of the books, some of them I know personally. Here's a few, and we'll just walk through them quickly. The next one that God, that is way that you can use your tongue in ungodly ways is cussing. I have a funny story. When I was in some country, I don't remember what country, but there were some British missionaries there, and I didn't really, I tried to joke around with a British accent, and, I watched British comedy, which I love. Like, I got some of my vocabulary, or whatever, from Monty Python, and I came up to them, and forgive me for what I'm about to say, but, I came up to them, and the first time I met them, I said, "Are you in the bloody queue?" And I thought that was funny. And apparently, bloody is a huge cuss word, at least to them it was. And their face was mortified. And I was like, uh-oh, what did I... I thought it was being funny. I had no idea. I just said, a huge cuss word to them. Cussing is bad, and it can be offensive to people. And it's not godly. I'm not going to put scriptures to all of these, but it's definitely in the Bible about not cussing. When I was in California, I got there, and everybody was saying hecka and hella. Hey, that's hecka cool. And I was like, are you cussing? What do you mean? Heck, what is that? And then I heard people from Southern Cal, they were like, hey, that's hella cool. I'm like, oh, that's cussing. But you gotta determine, if you're gonna offend somebody else, don't use your tongue for cussing. Another way is boasting, bragging. These are, again, ungodly ways to use your tongue. One of the best places that I saw this in the scripture was in the story of Joseph. Joseph, I love his character. I love his story. I learned so much from it. And at one point in Joseph, in Genesis, Joseph had this vision, this dream, and in this dream, there are these shafts, I don't remember what wheat or corn, I don't remember what they are, but they're bowing down to Joseph. And Joseph wakes up, and he goes and he gathers his brothers and his father, and he said, hey, I had a dream that all of you are going to bow down to me. That was a little bit not the appropriate time, not the right way to say it. He was boasting. Hey, dad and brothers, you're all going to bow to me. You know what they did to him? They sold him to slavery for that one. That's story enough. Don't boast or brag or somebody might sell you to slavery. don't know, it's biblical. Crude language is another one. You know what that is. We don't have to, don't use crude language. Crude jokes, this is something that we probably, most of us are guilty of, at least at some time or another. I used to tell American jokes in Brazil, it didn't translate, and they just saw it as rude and crude. Like, be aware, like you're telling, jokes get you into trouble. I know they're meant to be funny, but a lot of times they're just ungodly. Racist remarks, like we all know, just like that's who God created us to be. Like this is not using your tongue in a godly way. Exaggerating is another one that we often get in trouble with. I just gotta be honest, like exaggerating is so easy to do. But if you really look into the psychology of exaggerating, you're lying. In your company of Satan, you're just not telling the truth. You're actually telling more, or it's a half-truth. It's not even the truth, it's a lie. Exaggerating is another way that you're speaking ungodly ways. Complaining is another, you know, there's obviously times you need to complain. Like, there's legitimate times of reasoning. But complaining could be used in an ungodly manner. Like, this is a way that we can use our tongue in the wrong way. Being disrespectful to people. And so this is another way that you can just not glorify God in your tongue. Not giving credit to God is another way. Insults. I hope that you know that insults are just not representing God. It's not the way that God, it's not the instructions that God gave us for our tongues. Half-truths. Retaliation. Like this is another one that I know that probably most of us in the room really have to hold our tongue, bite our tongue, or do whatever you gotta do. But retaliation, all of the books that I read in the past couple weeks all speak about retaliation. I think it's a big hot topic. And a couple things that I saw that maybe will help you is just because you have a reason to retaliate doesn't mean that you're justified in doing it. Like just because you have a reason to retaliate with your tongue doesn't mean that you're justified in doing it. Like hold your tongue. Think about this, and this is what I thought about when I was thinking about retaliation, that Jesus is up there on the cross. These guys tortured him, stabbed him, persecuted him, persecuted his friends, his family. And did Jesus retaliate against them on the cross? Oh, Jesus, he said the exact opposite. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Retaliation is not the way that we're supposed to use our tongue. There's a couple more saying what others want to hear. One of the books I read said that this is called The Disease to Please. I don't know if I go that far, but I know that sometimes we try to please people, so we kind of tell them what they want to hear. It's not the truth. And I know it sounds good, and you're trying to help the other person, but you can't get in trouble, and that's not exactly the way that God intends us to say truthful things with our tongues. And then finally, saying the right thing at the wrong time. There's been a number of times, there's a person that they're not at the church or anything, but they were young and they were interviewing for a job, and I noticed that they had like a body odor, like they just needed like deodorant or needed to take a shower or something like that. I wanted to tell them because I know that they're going for interviews and they may be like, you know, sometimes you just need an extra helping hand, somebody outside of to let you know, like, hey, like, is there something I can do to help me in my interviews? And I wanted to tell them, but it wasn't like the right time at that time. And you guys don't know this, right? I think I'm talking about somebody here, but like, there is a time to tell somebody something, and then there's a wrong time. This person going through a hard time, I just couldn't do it at that time. But it would have been the right thing to tell them, but the wrong time to tell them. And we all know that. And that's not what. Sometimes we tell people the right thing at the wrong time. And that's an ungodly way of using your tongue. It may be correct, but it's not the right time. And you're just like tearing them down instead of building them up. One time in San Francisco, it was my birthday, and there was this guy in my church, and you know, he was a very interesting guy, and he sent me a text at 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, happy birthday. I was like, what? He woke me up, okay? I turned my phone out, vibrate after that. It's a right thing, wrong time. Okay, like, I know there's all these instances and examples you can pick up. Send it right thing. At the right time. So look at this list, guys. Like this is just like a quick list. Like, it's so easy to use our tongue for ungodly purposes. These are just, I mean, there's thousands of ways that we can do that. So let me share the next few minutes some right ways to use our tongue. In this, we will kind of put scriptures to these things. David says in Psalm 19:14, he says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." David's saying, "May the words that come out of my mouth be acceptable to God." And I think that should be our prayer as well. We need to strive to use our tongue in godly manner. So let me share with you a few ways that we can do that, use these tongues in a godly manner. So I will start out by saying that in the same way that one word can tear down somebody, one word or one comment has the power to lift up somebody as well. Let me give you some examples of these powerful words. Here's one right here, a powerful word that we say that has a real power: "I do." How about that? And not only in reference to marriage, like, hey, will you marry? Do you accept this man or woman to be your husband or wife? "I do." Like, that's a powerful word that changes both of your lives. But how about this? Like, do you have the time to help me? "I do." Do you have the time to be by my side during this difficult time? "I do." "I do" is a powerful word. How about this? "Hello." And this is another powerful word. You skim over it. You may think it's simple, silly. "Hello." Man, like, we don't do that often enough. What if all of us in a room used our tongue that way, just started saying hello to complete strangers, welcoming them, inviting yourself to be a part of their life? Here's another one. We know this one. I love you. Right? I keep getting my daughter to try to say this. I'm not sure she knows the exact meaning, but she knows it when she says it. I giggle. And I'm excited, so she does it again. But "I love you" is another powerful word that can roll off of our tongue to be used in godly purposes. How about this one? "I forgive you." And this has the power to create the power of life and death. And this one is the power of life. "I forgive you." Jesus said it. "I believe you" is another one. Just another powerful word. "I believe you." You can say this to God. You can say this to your brother or sister. "I trust you." Trust is a big issue that we have. And when you say you trust, you mean it. It can be powerful. And then finally, another, probably the most simple one that you could use is "yes." "Can you help me?" "Yes." "Do you believe me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Yes" is a powerful word. So with that, these are some powerful words. Let me give you some specific ways that you can use your tongue in righteous ways and godly ways. The first one, I'm just going to go through this list rather quickly, but use your words graciously. Like, use gracious words. This is what Paul says. He's teaching the church, by the way, like people who already believe in Jesus, and he's sending them a letter. He said, this is how your words are to be. Colossians 4:6, and he says, "Your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person." It's kind of sad that he had to teach them how to, like, you know, speak, but it's the truth, and we need it too. Our words should be gracious. I actually found a lot of scriptures on this. I'm just going to do one more on the gracious. Jesus was known for speaking gracious words. Luke 4:22, they were all the people in the town and village were speaking about Jesus, and they're speaking well of him. They were amazed by his gracious words that came from his mouth. I learned something new. I was like, wow, Jesus. Obviously, I know his words are gracious, but like, here's a villager saying, the words that are coming from Jesus' mouth are gracious. Isn't that cool? And that's the way that God wants us to be as well. Here's another one. Speak kindly. Genesis 50:20-21. That same Joseph story. There's a lot to be learned from Joseph. So fast forward, like, I don't know how many years, a number of years. And the brothers, like, Joseph becomes like second in charge of all of Egypt. The brothers, you know, they're in a drought. They come begging Joseph, and then they find out that Joseph is in charge and could easily kill them with the power of his tongue. Send them off. He could have said that. Well, this is how Joseph replied. Genesis 50:20-21. He's speaking before those brothers that sold him into slavery. He said, "You planned evil against me, but God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph had every reason to say, off with their heads, or something, right? Like, they deserved that. But instead, Joseph comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. That's a godly example right there. Speak kindly to people. Another one, speak truth in love. Ephesians 4:15, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Again, he's teaching them how to speak, how to live this new life, this new way of living. And he said, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way in him who is the head, Christ. Paul's just reminding us today in the church back in the day, speak truth in love. This next one is one of my favorites. I think we all actually love this. And it's building one another up. And he's reminding the church, Paul again is reminding the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4:29. And he says, no foul language is to come from your mouth. That's an instruction, don't cuss, no crude language. But only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. This is our takeaway. Encourage one another. Lift one another up. Build one another up with your tongue. This is the godly tongue. This is the way that God intended it. Another one, give soft, gentle answers. I'm not going to point fingers, but a lot of us might get in trouble with this one. Give soft, gentle answers. This is what Solomon says in Proverbs 15:1. It says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. How many of us, when you're in a heated argument, how many of us give a gentle answer? It's hard to do, right? Like, most of us probably retaliate, right? Even if, you know, most of us probably give back a harsh answer for a harsh answer. And Jesus is teaching on that, to turn the other cheek. Solomon's teaching on that is to answer that anger with a gentle or soft answer. This is a way that God is retaming your tongue, instructing your tongue for godly purposes. And just a few more here. I know it's a lot. Don't speak too soon. A lot of us have a problem with this, or some of us might. Proverbs 29:20. Solomon said, do you see a man who speaks too soon? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You know, a lot of us can get in trouble with this. We just go speak, and we don't allow time to ponder what the other person has to say. This is actually an ungodly, according to the Bible, ungodly way of communicating, using your tongue. Another one is let your words be few. We just sang about that, but Proverbs 10:19, Solomon says, when there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lips is wise. There's a ton of scriptures in here. Practice these things. You know, practice having few words. Because few words allows for other people to speak. It allows for a two-way communication. I grew up with a family of three siblings, so there are four kids, two parents, and so six people at the table, and plus a bunch of cats. But anyway, the people at the table were fighting for conversation. At the dinner table, we called it supper table, but anyway, you probably call it dinner table. Six people, we all have a lot to say, so we're fighting one another to like get it all out. And I kind of grew up, after I left the house, like I had to figure out, that's not the way you communicate to one another. Like, you gotta stop, you gotta listen, you gotta let other people get in there, you know, get their word in there. So let your words be few. Another one, keep silent at the right times. Proverbs 17:28 said, even a fool is considered wise if he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. When my seminary professor, Dr. Jeff Orange, he was telling us, when he was a brand new pastor, he had a lot of ideas, a lot of energy, and he went into his board meetings, his very first job, and he would just spew it all out. Like, he had good ideas, but he's just like spewing idea after idea. And then one of the elders pulled him aside and said, hey, these gentlemen before you have been here many, many years. They have a lot of wisdom. Try this. Listen to what they have to say. And just listen and see the wisdom and learn from that. And so he said for a whole year, he hardly said a thing in the meetings. And he said that was the best year of his life. And he taught us. I went to a leadership class with him, and that's what he taught me. And I learned from his mistake and his experience as well. Keep silent at the right time. There's power in that. Don't speak before listening. Proverbs 18:13, the one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolishness and disgrace for him. This is a one that we get into a lot as well. Don't speak before listening. Like you just want to get your thing in, you're not listening to what people say. When I was in Brazil, one of the ways that I learned Portuguese is by repeating what the person said to me. And they'll say, fica fria, and I'll say, oh, fica fria. You know, so I repeat what they say. And it communicated to them that I'm listening to them. It allowed them a time to speak, allowed me a time to process. And I do the same thing with my daughter. When she comes up to me, she says, want to go to the zoo? And then I'll repeat it. You want to go to the zoo? And I say it properly back to her, but you know, it's an art. But don't process what people are saying. Like, don't speak before listening. This is godly advice, guys. How about this? I'm just going to spend a very brief time on this, and then we'll get to the end of this. Speaking online. This is something that's new. In the last 20 years or even earlier than that, speaking online can get us in trouble. It's just as easy to use your tongue in ungodly ways online as it is like in person. So let me give you these very quick steps. This is found in Karen Eamon's book, Keep It Shut. That's the name of the book, Keep It Shut. It's a Christian book, tons of scripture, tons of practical advice. It's a New York Times bestseller. I greatly appreciated it, recommend it. This is what she says. When I know almost every one of us here like write stuff online. She says, test your stuff with scripture before you write it. Obviously, don't write anything unscriptural. Imagine the other person sitting next to you. Like, would you really write something if they're like looking over your shoulder? Remember that online is also on stage. Everybody's watching. You don't know who is watching you. Ask yourself, this is a big one, ask yourself if you've earned the right to address the subject at hand. Like, man, we all got opinions, but it doesn't mean you have to speak about everything. Like, have you earned the right to speak to that person online? Ask yourself if you have a close enough relationship with that person to address, to warrant offering your opinion. Like, do I know them enough to say, like, hey, you shouldn't be dating that person, or, you know, whatever it may be. Like, another one, let your comments be laced with grace. Again, like, speaking online is the same as using your tongue for godly purposes. And then lastly, realize that the world is watching and learning. Whatever you say online, somebody might repeat that. They might take a snapshot of it and put it on CNN or whatever. I don't know. The world is watching, and they might copy you, would you say. So this is very briefly. I wish we could spend more time on that, but again, there's a lot here. Let me end the godly ways to use your tongue with this. And this is my own list, but I would encourage you guys to speak courageous words. Like this, I believe, is God. To speak courageous words that will change the world, that will lift up people, that will be for the betterment of mankind. Here are just some courageous words. I do. Goodbye. Sometimes you need to say goodbye to somebody in your life. I just gotta be honest. They're pulling you down, they're a bad influence, they're tempting you. Sometimes you just got to say goodbye to a person or something in your life. Hello is another courageous word. We all know, unless you're extreme extrovert, like it's difficult to say hello to somebody, especially a complete stranger. I love you is an extremely courageous word. I think it moves the world. I love you. I forgive you. This is a courageous word. And you have to mean it from your heart, obviously in your mind, but I believe, I trust you. This is another courageous word, I've sinned. How about this, a courageous word, you've wronged me. You know, some of us here are victims of whatever crime or whatever hurt, and a godly way to use your tongue would be to approach that person. Say, you've wronged me. Some of us need to take that courage and speak that courageous word to bring about that healing. There. So how about this one? Look, I was singing about this long before the song came out. Let it go. Right? Like, even before the song, it's a godly thing. Like, let it go. Some of us, you know, we used to refer to it as like chains, ball and chains behind us, but like, some of us have this sin or this hurt or something that we just need to let it go. Like, these are courageous words. You can tell it to somebody else. How about this one? Let's start again. Like, this past is forgiven. Let's start fresh. Let's start again. This is a courageous word that can come out of your mouth. Here's one you can say to God, your will be done, God. That's what Jesus said. That was an extremely courageous word. Another one is, how can I help? Courageous words. The last two are really cool. I'm proud of you. Parents, this is something we should be telling our children, or siblings, or our family members, or friends. I'm proud of you. And it has a power to bless. And then lastly, you can do it. You can do it. This is a way that we can lift up people and encourage people. Obviously, don't tell them you can do it if they can't do it. But like just bless them if they can't do it. Encourage them in that right path, not the wrong path. Annie Downs, another book that I read, is called Perfectly Unique. Is written from a perspective of women, but I read it. I was blessed by it. I liked it. And she says this about our bodies. She said, with our mouths, we are constantly creating. And we have that gift because we're made in God's image. And this is one of the biggest things I learned from the study in the scripture, is that we create with our mouth. Solomon says we create life or we create death, but we create with our mouth. And that's because we were created in God's image. So this morning, ask yourself, what am I creating today with my words? Your powerful tongue, what are you creating today with your words? Let me give you just a few applications, and then we'll end this morning. Here's some ways that you could train. I call it training your tongue. It is, you can evaluate yourself. Just see, like, are you using, look up to these two lists to say, which one am I falling in today? Another one is to ask others to evaluate yourself. Maybe you have a potty mouth and you don't even know it. You know, like, ask somebody who's courageous enough to tell you the truth at the right time, right? And use the lace of gracious words, okay? Ask others to evaluate yourselves. These are the next two I found for one of the books that I greatly appreciated. Never thought about it. Identify your greatest weakness. Like, think about it. From this list, maybe circle like three of them that you struggle with that are your weakness. Maybe it's gossiping, maybe it's lying, maybe it's not telling the whole truth, maybe it's people-pleasing, or maybe it's cussing. Like, identify your greatest weakness and then pray about those. And along those same lines, identify your greatest strengths. Like, maybe you have an amazing ability to encourage people. Or maybe you have an amazing ability to tell the truth. Or maybe you are a person who blesses through your tongue. And then go out and use those gifts to, like, bless the world, to change the world, to use your godliness through this body part that God has given you, your tongue. Another one is ask God to guard your mouth. David prayed in Psalm 141:3, and he must have had a problem with his mouth, because he said, Lord, set a guard for my mouth. Keep watch at the door of my lips. And literally, God, guard my mouth. And that's what David prayed to God in Psalm 141:3. You can do the same. And then finally, last thing I can recommend to you is go to a quiet place with God. This is so helpful, and I feel like in such an urban setting as this, we don't get this enough. In Matthew 6, chapter 31 to 32, Jesus' disciples were tired. They had been doing this ministry, healing people, spending all this time with people. And then he says this to them, and he's telling his disciples, he's like, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. And he said, for many people have been coming and going, and the disciples didn't even have time to eat. So it says they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. Went away and spent time with God. And Jesus did that time and time and time again. He was speaking a lot. But he also refreshed himself by going to spend time with God. And he allowed God to speak into his life, whether that's through prayer or scripture, even quietness, God can speak to your life. That's my encouragement to you. This is a real practical list. Evaluate yourself. Ask others to evaluate yourself. Identify your weakness. Identify your strengths. Ask God to guard your mouth, and then go spend a quiet place with God. Let me close this morning's sermon with a prayer. I know that was a lie. I honestly know that. I tried to promise not to. I don't want to lie, but I tried to promise to not have so much information next time, but there's so much here. And I was blessed. I wanted to bless you with it. You may need to like listen to the sermon again or ask for some notes, or I saw some of you writing some things down. These are godly instructions. There is an ungodly way to use your tongues. There is a godly way to use your tongues. And we are given the power through being created in God's image to create life and to create death for your tongue. Which one are you doing today? Let me pray for us and we'll end this morning's service. Would you bow your heads? Lord, we pray to make us sensitive to honoring you with our mouth. Help us, God, to pause before we pounce. Help us to be bold to speak when we would rather run away. God, we pray that the words that come from our mouths will be sweet and not bitter. God, we desire to build up instead of tear down with our words. God, we desire to bless instead of curse with our words. God, we desire to praise instead of harm with our tongue. God, we desire to heal instead of cause pain with our words. And Lord Jesus, we give you our mouth, our tongue, our mind, and our heart today for your will and for your purposes. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Because of Jesus, my heart is free. Because of Jesus.